Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Timing's terrible with the property tax. I know we bring in 15, it's like 59 million, isn't it, in local option sales tax, is what I was told. It would be devastating. I know that the people advocating for that, but I intend on bringing up very shortly the Children's Trust Fund to see if that will be on the ballot. Or I told the staff to see where all of us fall on that, because I think that's needs to be completely relooked at.
Mike Kohler talking during the most recent Escambia County Commission meeting. This would have been, Thursday, last Thursday week. But Mike Kohler talking about the renewal of the local option sales tax. Now, remember, yesterday we were talking about the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting where they were having a very big hand-wringing contest over the question of whether adding land conservation as one of the pledged items to use local option sales tax on would help or hurt the renewal efforts, because theirs ends in December, or, you know, Santa Rosa County's ends in December. In Escambia County, it ends in 2 years. It ends in 2028. But there's a question of, okay, when to go for the renewal. Do you ask for the renewal on the November ballot of this year, 2026, which gives you 2 years to basically plan around the disappointment if it fails to renew? And obviously plan for the, you know, what to do if it does succeed. Or do you wait until 2028, where if it fails in November and you're done funding in December, you've basically got a month and a half to figure out, oh, crap, what do we do without all this money? You know, that's a lot of money that comes in through local sales tax. And both counties are dealing with this. It's just that Santa Rosa's ends 2 years earlier based on the timing of when they passed in the first place. And in Santa Rosa, what they're trying to do is figure out, how do we present this in the way that's most likely to get the voters to say yes? And in Escambia, it's not so much a what are we going to use it for to get the voters to say yes? It's a when do we do it to get the voters to say yes? Because if we've got other ballot measures on, like, for example, the superintendent from the school board, right? That's a question that's going to be on the ballot this fall. You know, do we go back to having an elected superintendent or keep with an appointed superintendent? There's also going to be an issue, as Mike was saying just there, on the Escambia Children's Trust, which I think is actually doing quite a bit of good work, but they've had an awful lot of negative press. And in the beginning, it was deserved. And more recently, with the scandal around one of the fundees that they had, that, you know, kind of a big news story with, you know, stuff that he's alleged to have done, and then the family trying to cover up for him, allegedly, all that stuff. Well, they changed all that. I mean, they defunded him when any of those rumors started, and they, you know, okay. But it, still, that doesn't look good for them. The squabbles with the county and the city, to a degree, over who gets which funding that goes to the CRA. So, you know, the news around the Escambia Children's Trust has generally been very negative. And people don't love paying a higher tax to begin with, so there's an awful lot of people. I know when I talk to people, there's not a lot of popular support for the Escambia Children's Trust. And Mike Kohler says, look, we're going to ask people if they really want to continue doing this or not. It is a property tax. And so that may be on the ballot. If you get something from the state where they actually come through with having a property tax measure on, you know, to cut property taxes, then you got that to deal with. And one of the things they're talking about is, well, yeah, you know, if they say no to property taxes at the state level on the referendum, who knows whether we will or not. If they say no to the Children's Trust, if they, you know, say they're in a no saying mode, whatever that means when it comes to the superintendent, does some of that negative sentiment spill over onto, you know, the local option sales tax when we just go across the board no's? Or maybe we wait to 2028, you know, let things simmer down a little bit. Well, it's more complicated than that, because, you know, you don't know that 2028 is going to be any better. What I think is interesting about this whole conversation is it's so taken for granted that the right thing to do is to uncharitable version of it scheme, charitable version of it plan, to do it in such a way that the voters are the most likely to pass it. Remember, the government is not supposed to advocate for or against any of these things. The government's not allowed to advocate for taxes, essentially. They can present information, but they cannot kind of lobby you, so to speak. So we are in a situation where they are so clearly trying to get these things passed. And I do not disagree. I think both funding mechanisms are very important to both counties. But they're not really allowed to campaign for it. And yet they are very clearly, again, uncharitable version scheming, charitable version planning. What's the best way to get the voters to say yes?
And so I would prefer if we wait to 28. Santa Rosa, theirs is up this year, and they're putting it on this year. And if it expires, it'd be in 26. But if the board collectively wants to do it, I won't kick and scream, but I think we should hold off.
And again, he's saying our better odds of getting the renewal are if we wait until 2028 to actually put it on the ballot, even though that puts us only months away from the funding going away. It'd be November of 2028, and then December, if it fails, it'd be gone and gives you no plan to come up with anything else, okay? Stephen Berry, District 5.
No, there's not a great answer, certainly. You know, you're trying to find the less, you know, maybe the less bad answer. And I think, generally speaking, if we're going to get bad news, we're better served to have the bad news in a more timely fashion than a later fashion. You know, I think we do, you know, we do have some folks that are willing to do the advocacy. And, you know, unless there's some aspect of it that I'm not considering, I think we go now and deal with it as it is.
So he says, put it on the ballot now. If we're going to get bad news, let's at least allow ourselves some time to plan for what that would mean for us. Let's ask now and just see what happens. By the way, in case you're wondering, you might be thinking, well, can they not ask for a local option sales tax renewal now? And if it fails, ask again in 2028. No, they have to wait 4 years. I believe that. I'm 95% sure it's a 4-year delay. So they have to wait till 2030. So that'd be 2 years without it, which, you know, in the vicinity of $100 million of lost local option sales tax. So sorry. Anyway, it's 5:16. Okay, fine. So Mike Kohler again.
But what I'll tell you, we're basically 8 months out. If we don't do it now, we know we have 2 years to advocate for it, and we'll have a new governor and a new administration. And the property tax thing is falling apart in Tallahassee. I have a meeting tomorrow at 9 a.m. It is literally, they're putting up signals to try to figure out what they can get across this, you know, across the finish line so it wins. So either way, if y'all want to do it, like I said, I'll go with the board. But I, you're right. We don't know what the future holds. But if we didn't do it now, we know absolutely we have 2 years to advocate. Right now, we have 8 months.
I think what Commissioner Berry said makes sense, Mike, and I'll support that, Commissioner Berry.
Yeah, but we're not going to – I mean, we may have 2 years to advocate, but, I mean, first of all, we can't advocate, so there's that.
Right. When I hear those three words – when I hear that word advocate several times, I think, I think Allison's going to tell them they can't actually do that, but they can, again, plan or scheme depending on whether you like or don't like what they're doing.
If we were to put it off until November of 28 and it did fail, then – that we would have a budget in place that was effective, you know, October 1 of 28, and then we would have an action, you know, a ballot action that repealed, you know, that repealed it. I'm sure it would have a start date a year out. I mean, I don't think the impact would be 6 weeks, but it would still be less, and I mean, it would be apocalyptic for, you know, for us, and you know, those are the services that our community has become, you know, accustomed to.
Apocalyptic might be a bit dramatic, but I actually don't disagree with him. I mean, if you're talking about $800 million budget, and they suddenly lose $50 million a year of funding for it. And by the way, a lot of times now it wouldn't be true with that one because they can't encumber. I think some of this stuff is sort of right at the limit of what I know legally and, you know, statutorily, but, a lot of times what you do is you commit to projects that are going to presume funding is going to come from like 3 and 4 and 5 years from now in your local option sales tax revenue. So, you know, you're making, and again, I think the number is about $50 million a year. That's what Mike said. So if you're making $50 million a year in year one, you might decide to commit to theoretically, like a Bay Center project, okay, that uses funding from several years down the road, which is, that's what they're going to do if they do the Bay Center. Not going to use all of it, but they're going to use, to bond, for example, other money, and you're going to think of this as the payment. You can pay this much per year out of local option sales tax. 4 is the one that we're in now. That would be 5, the iteration 5. Anyway, the point is, if you got a budget of 800 and then all of a sudden, it doesn't renew, and then that money, it doesn't go away what already got voted in, but it doesn't keep coming anymore. Oh, crap. if $50 million on an $800 million budget is a lot. So that's kind of what they're working on. They didn't really give an answer exactly, except that they're going to, think it a little bit more. But Mike Kohler also mentioned later on in the meeting, right towards the end, that with all of the questions about Tallahassee and property taxes, with the question around the Escambia Children's Trust, with the question around this issue of when to ask the voters in Escambia to renew or not renew the local option sales tax, he says,
when are we going to bring up the school board situation? Is that coming soon? I was asked the other day, and we've been.
So what I would recommend is that I bring that to the board at the first meeting in April, because the Attorney General's office was told that we have a drop dead by the end of March for an opinion from them. They said they cannot promise us that, but I would suggest letting us bring that back to the first meeting in April.
Okay. So we're waiting on the possibility that James Uthmeyer is going to take time out of his busy schedule writing opinions he asks himself to write. That's a real thing. Really did that. Whether he can actually write opinions related to the things that we are asking, which is kind of their job, or not. And so they're going to wait until, what you say, April, because March would be the deadline if that even happens. And this is to pass, this is whether, how to handle the superintendent question, because the school board has already said they want this on the ballot. And we have to figure out, there's some choices in there, because remember the school board, if you recall, wants to do it at primary time, which I think would be, I don't know if I can really use strong enough words, immoral. It was a split decision on the school board, okay? But they want to do it, the ones who want the superintendent to be elected, they want to have that vote at a time when it's most likely to pass, which would be during the primary, when you have basically, you're not going to have Democrats showing up because there's nothing for them to vote for. It's only going to be Republicans, or largely it's going to be Republicans, and Republicans who tend to be more in favor of elected as opposed to appointed is the theory. So you can get this passed and go back to having an elected superintendent because you jimmied the elections in order to get it to where it would give you a favorable result. Well, I don't like that. As somebody who believes in fairness and consistency and, openness and transparency, I want you to have the election when the most people are going to be able to vote on, which is November. So they've already said they want to do it in the primary season, and then the school board and the Escambia County Commission doesn't want to exactly override the school board and say, spank them and say, bad boy. but they should. So that's an open question, too, about when are we going to figure out what to do about the school board request to do it in the primary instead of in the general. So lots of electoral things going on this year. Of course, it's an election year. So just that's kind of a quick update of what's happening in both. By the way, I don't have the clips cut for today, so we won't deal with it today. But remember yesterday in Santa Rosa County, I was sharing you all of the talk about whether to use it for farmland conservation or not, and this big personality squabble over, okay. Yesterday in the county commission meeting.
Tell me, Andrew.
Oh, even more.
Tell me, Andrew.
There was just, and this is with Colton out. Colton was one of the, main opponents, not of the concept, but of an unspecified number being used for the farm conservation out of the, renewal of the local option sales tax. And when he was out, Rhett Rowell came back and basically said, I want to address this some more and say, well, I'm right. And I thought, good Lord, just take no for an answer. And that got really ugly real fast, so I don't think I'll have time to cut that for you this morning, but
Andrew,
Monday, you got to pace yourself a little bit. Pace yourself.
Andrew.
Meanwhile, we approved a new police chief last night unanimously, not any surprise whatsoever, so Eric Winstrom will be the new Pensacola police chief, and he'll be coming here soon. 523 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Welcome back to Winter Hack Radio, the place for clever hacks to survive the season. Icy driveway? Well, try spreading sand or bird seed to help with traction. Snowy puppy paws? Well, grab a whisk, brush it off, done. Catch COVID-19? Well, just get...
Actually, there's no hack for COVID-19. But if you test positive, prescription medications for COVID exist. Ask your doctor if they're right for you. Visit PfizerForAll.com to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
You're not looking for an argument.
You just want to know what's going on.
And that's a good thing.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Listen, you want to get some dinner? Busy. How about some lunch? Have a lunch. Coffee? Water? How about some water?
Good morning, 525 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. President Trump appears to be distancing himself from Howard Lutnick after the Commerce Secretary apparently admitted to visiting Jeffrey Epstein's private island. Trump was asked yesterday if he was aware of Lutnick's visit to the island. At first, he said he wasn't aware, then said, he had heard Lutnick had been there, perhaps even taking his family with him.
What?
That's
taking his family. Oh, God.
He was there with his wife and his kids is what he said.
Go on.
Amazon, it's a top vacation spot, don't you know? Amazon, Amazon is canceling a planned partnership between its Ring doorbell cameras and law enforcement surveillance tech company. The plan would have allowed Ring customers to share.
You didn't mention the name Flock.
The plan would have allowed Ring customers to share their video with police. Amazon said that was scrapped because it would take more time and resources than it initially anticipated.
Yeah, it could be that, or people are like, you're going to do what now? You're going to merge up the Ring doorbell cameras with the Flock license plate readers and create a de facto surveillance state? Which we talked about this the other day, that the dog finding uses of the Ring camera, right, are the kind of thing where people are like, man, that does sound useful. But then you think, well, I mean, if it can find your Sheltie, you know, it can, it can find you. And again, because people have been raising questions about the Flock cameras and license plate readers and all of that. I mean, just, you know.
It seems like all of these things start with really good intent and reason to do it. And then it's just like, hey, you know, we can also.
Since we've already got the cameras in place.
You know, we might as well.
Yeah.
How about an Olympics update? The men's hockey team opened up its Winter Olympics run yesterday with a 5-1 win over Latvia.
Nicely done.
Thank you very much. Team USA is on the hunt for its first medal since 2010.
Very good. And I did happen to watch, Chloe Kim, who is a superstar snowboarder, and she came in second in the women's halfpipe finals yesterday. And that was the right score. If anything, I actually thought she should have gotten third, because the gal who got fourth had a tremendous run in her final run. And even the commentator was like, oh, that is going to change everything. And then it was an 84. And which Chloe came, I think, in 86, and the winner actually had like a 90 and a quarter. And then it came out that she was fourth, and I thought, oh, yeah, well, no, that was not accurate. Chloe did a good first run and then fell on her second and third run, so she's still fantastic, you know. But anyway, that just an update if you were curious about her. 528 News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? No. Oh, interesting updates related to Mark Kelly and the six members of Congress who put out the video. Do you remember this several months ago where they said, hey, by the way, troops, you know, in the UCMJ, it says you don't have to obey illegal orders. That's actually true. You don't have to obey illegal orders, which is true. They don't have to. In fact, they're obligated to not obey illegal orders. What's an illegal order? Well, it's something that, you know, clearly violates somebody's constitutional rights, goes against the law in some way or fashion. And it's not for you to be the lawyer on the front line as an individual troop usually, but there are some orders that you are supposed to know that is illegal, and that's in the UCMJ. Well, of course, the Trump administration, Secretary War Pete Hegseth, lost their minds over this, and, I mean, really lost their minds over this. They were calling it sedition. Trump called for the death penalty. I mean, just, you know, insane stuff. So then they did two things. They tried to make a lawsuit happen against them, and the grand jury earlier this week said, no, y'all are out of your mind. This is not a crime. Free speech is not a crime, especially when the free speech is being used to remind people of what's already in the law. And then a judge just yesterday struck down or temporarily intervened with Pete Hegseth and the Secretary of War, the Department of War, to try to change the military benefits for now retired Mark Kelly, because he's a, you know, former captain or retired captain. And the judge said, do you not understand what the First Amendment means? I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what he said, is that Secretary of War Pete Hegseth needs to study the Constitution better, because, no, you cannot do this. You cannot take away somebody's retirement benefits because they use free speech in a way that you don't agree with politically, which is 100% what this is. So, good. And Pete Hegseth's immediate response is, oh, thank you, sir, for educating me on my stupidity and my failure to understand the Constitution. No, he's like, oh, we're going to appeal. Cool. Again, somebody who just can't take no for an answer.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. New details emerging in the search for Nancy Guthrie, missing for 13 days. Fox's Kristen Goodman has more about a possible suspect from the FBI.
Describing the man as approximately 5'9" to 5'10" tall with an average build. Adding in the video, he is wearing a black 25-liter Ozark Trail Hiker Pack backpack.
And the FBI increasing the reward from $50,000 to $100,000. President Trump travels to Fort Bragg in North Carolina, honoring the service members involved in the Operation Absolute Resolve that removed Nicolas Maduro from power in Venezuela. Earlier at Cape Canaveral in Florida.
3, 2, 1, ignition and liftoff. Go Falcon, go Dragon, and Godspeed Crew 12.
Four-person crew soaring aboard SpaceX Dragon. They're going to the International Space Station. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, News Radio 92.3. It is 48 degrees right now, partly cloudy skies. The city of Pensacola has got a new police chief. City Council unanimously approving Mayor D.C. Reeves' pick on Thursday night. Eric Winstrom comes from Grand Rapids, Michigan, where he served as chief for 2 years. He starts March 2nd. Winstrom has more than 20 years of law enforcement experience, including organizing security for large events. He says his top priorities are meeting the community and improving officer recruitment and retention. Well, in Fairhope, police are warning about a scam that cost three people more than $56,000. Investigators say the victims received texts asking if they authorized a large purchase. When they replied no, somebody claiming to be from their bank called and said their accounts were compromised. The victims were told to withdraw cash and hand it over to a driver for safekeeping. Police say never withdraw money to give to somebody that you don't know. Well, demolition work is now underway at the former Baptist Hospital site in Pensacola. Officials say asbestos was found in the buildings, but 97% of that is non-friable, meaning it won't become airborne if handled properly. Crews are using air filters and sealed barriers to protect the surrounding neighborhood. Active demolition is expected to begin in March. The project should be finished by the middle of next year. A public forum is scheduled for March 5th. Well, security is going to be a little bit tighter this weekend for the Mardi Gras parade in Pensacola. PPD's public information officer, Mike Wood, he says the department has stepped up measures since the New Orleans incident. Any vehicles left on Jefferson Street before the parade will be towed.
We really upped the security since the incident in New Orleans on New Year's Eve. So that's just something we can't leave there. But I think we've only had to tow one since we've changed to that new security.
And the modified parade route goes south on Palafox from right, then left on Garden Right on Jefferson. Well, scammers apparently are using real PPD officers' names in phone scams. PPD says criminals have been pulling names from the department's website and then making robocalls claiming victims have warrants or have missed jury duty. They're also spoofing PPD phone numbers on caller ID. Police say they'll never call asking for money, gift cards, or Bitcoin. Anybody who does receive a suspicious call should hang up and contact police directly. Santa Rosa County Commissioners recognized student athletes this week from schools across the county. Jay High School's soccer team made it to the Sweet 16 while their wrestling team competed at state, along with girls weightlifting. Lead Academy girls basketball team is 16-1. They won the district championship. Navarre High School's weight team and basketball programs were also recognized for achievements this season. 5:35 at News Radio. Let's get a look at our forecast.
We are going to be looking at a beautiful day today with temperatures warming up quickly around 70 degrees for your high, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 52. For Saturday, mostly cloudy skies, small 20% chance of a stray sprinkle. Otherwise going to be looking at the clouds, high near 69 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 64. For Sunday, we will have those rain showers moving through the morning and early afternoon hours, 100% chance of rain, high near 68. Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 55. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And just a bit chilly this morning, but not too bad. It is 48 degrees. Clear skies, our next news in 30 minutes. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates, now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates, leave the numbers to the experts.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
This is a project that can be a generational change for our city.
Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves delivered the State of the City Address.
Getting the $76 million grant from Triumph, I believe either the second or third largest in the history of Triumph.
And News Radio covered it live.
2,000 high-paying jobs, 1,500 of those jobs, give or take, at 68,000. The other 500 jobs, average salary over 100,000.
News, it's what we do. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Five intersections picked were based on data from several years ago. I don't remember if it's exactly 8 years or 5 years ago, and then the year previous, And these were the five most consistent across the board, unanimous most incidents. I believe the 2 years previous to red light cameras, just these five intersections had 377 vehicle accidents.
Question 36, has red light camera footage been used to investigate other crimes or cases not related to red light violations within Pensacola? Yes.
That was, of course, D.C. Reeves talking at the brief on the red light cameras. It is required by state law. The state statute that allows you to have red light cameras also has to have an annual review of it. And then the other voice you heard there was Kristen Brown, who is the current acting chief, and she'll become the deputy chief when Chief Winstrom gets here, assuming that tonight the city council approves him, and I absolutely assume that they will. But I thought that was an interesting question. Would, you know, has it led to other investigations or solved other investigations? And I wasn't quite sure what that meant, so I will ask my good friend Mike Wood, who is the public information officer at the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So what... are we talking about, like, the red light cameras have helped solve a, I mean, I don't know, is it, a, you know, some robbery, some kidnapping, some other, what is, how have the red light cameras helped to solve other crimes?
Well, other incidents as well. We can look at the cameras, look at the intersections and see if there's a crash, who actually caused that crash, what exactly happens. That so we'll have that information. And also we can look in the intersections if we're looking for a specific vehicle to see if it went through one of those five intersections, which way it was going, what time it went through there. And that can help in an investigation.
Okay. So this is really more about if a crash happens, you can help resolve maybe liability or at least figure out what the event was because it was captured if there was a red light run at the intersection. Obviously, if there's a crash, somebody's going to have been through a red light because otherwise they couldn't both be in the intersection at the same time, right?
Right, that's correct. And, okay. And again, it can show us a vehicle that may have passed through there at a certain time that could be of help to us.
Okay. All right, that makes sense. They did some crime elsewhere, whatever, but they also ran a red light. You'd be able to, you know, track patterns or see things like that. Okay, that makes perfect sense. Okay. We got a parade coming up this weekend. You know, obviously we've done this, once already with the new parade route for Martin Luther King Jr. Day? But tell people what to expect. Again, the rules are not brand new, but they're relatively new about where you can park, when the perimeter closes, and then what the new route's going to be.
Yeah, the signage will be up on the parade route. And it's very clear, so just make sure you're careful when you're parking down there on Friday. So there's a parade Friday night and another one on Saturday. The change of the route because of the construction on Palo Fox is going to take it south on Palo Fox from Wright Street. You'll make a left onto Garden and then another right onto Jefferson.
Yeah.
So this is the change, and it went smoothly for the MLK parade. There were no issues, and we don't anticipate any on this one. The big thing is to get in there early, find you a good place to park, and get you a good spot on the parade route. And then after it's over with, we'll get you out of there just as fast as we can.
Is there no parking on Jefferson during the parade? I'm guessing the same way for security it was on Palo Fox. Is that right?
Yes. So, yeah, if there's anybody left there on Jefferson before the parade starts, and unfortunately we're going to have to tow that vehicle for security reasons. We really upped the security since the incident in New Orleans on New Year's Eve, that's just something we can't leave there. But I think we've only had to tow one since we've changed to that new security. I may be wrong on that, but I believe it's one that I know for sure.
Oh, great.
So most of these people that are parking down there are moving their vehicles and getting them out of the way before anything like that happens. It hasn't been a big issue.
Very good. And people still can't park on Palo Fox, right?
That's correct. I mean, if you own a dump truck, you might get away with it, but other than that, probably shouldn't do that.
I'm always impressed by your ability, and I can see your face. You're looking at me through your phone thinking, Andrew. And then you answer it with no emotion at all, not laughing at all, just, nope, still can't park on Palo Fox. What were you going to say?
Over the years of speaking with you, I've learned to anticipate questions like that. So, yeah, if you don't throw one at me, I'm kind of surprised.
Yeah, I find like I'm not doing my job. All right. Let's see. One of the other things, this is a substantially more serious question. We had an incident on Scenic Highway, and it involved a fatality. Ultimately, two people, I believe, died. But it turns out, or you guys are looking for a blue Jeep, because the theory is what now, that the Jeep crossed the center line and actually led to the crash. What's going on here? What do we know? What are we looking for?
Yeah, that's what we do know, is the Jeep was on scenic highway, crossed the center line, and hit another vehicle head-on, and now we have two fatalities. But during the investigation, our traffic homicide investigators determined that that vehicle was at W and Mobile Highway minutes before that crash, and was supposedly there for 10 minutes or so, and the individual was seen by other motorists passed out at the wheel, and we're looking for witnesses to that, and there's been some confusion. We don't need the driver of the Jeep. We have him. He was treated at the hospital. We obviously know what vehicle is involved. What we do need, though, are any people that saw this vehicle, maybe even before it got to W and Mobile Highway. Was it driving erratically, maybe on Navy Boulevard or something like that? We're looking for those witnesses and any witnesses that approached the vehicle while it was at W and Mobile Highway. We're looking for those folks also.
Okay, so you have the driver, you know what happened. Do you know they crossed the center line because the driver told you, or because you have witnesses, or because you have camera, or can't say?
Well, it's the evidence at the scene.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, all right, fair enough.
It was, yeah.
But now what you're looking for is, and you know he was, or you believe that he was passed out at the, you know, at the gas station, I think you said. But now you're looking to confirm that from other people. You're looking for any eyewitnesses that might have seen him or that before the crash. Is that right?
Yeah, that's what we're looking for, particularly anybody that may have cell phone video of the vehicle at W and Mobile Highway. That's what we're looking for, is any witnesses that saw him that can tell us how long that vehicle was there. That's what we're looking for at this point.
What was the date that this happened? Because that might help people if they knew they were in that area. Maybe they have a dash cam. Maybe they, you know, keep it for long enough. I don't know. I'm just – what date and what was the exact location?
On Friday, it'll be 2 weeks. 2 weeks Friday. So, and it was after 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It was the time.
Okay.
So it was.
So
it
on
was
the 30th, January 30th, about 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
That's correct.
All right. Very good. We're talking to Mike Wood, the public information officer for PPD. Mike, hang on for just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by the Florida West Economic Development Alliance. They work to create highway jobs and private capital investment that grow Escambia County's tax base. Just one accident on the books right now. We've got one at 9th Avenue and Underwood Avenue, and that's causing some major delays on 9th Avenue. So you definitely want to route around that one. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right, thanks so much, John. Back to Mike Wood, the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, one of the briefs we got this week was from Mayor D.C. Reeves talking about the drop in crime, a significant drop in crime, 28%, I think, across the board. You know, a little bit more, a little bit less in some categories, but a very, you know, very substantial drop. We have also seen across the country crime has been going down. Unless I'm mistaken, you feel free to correct me. We are doing well, but we are also part of a national trend that is doing well. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair. But you also... I mean, we can't put our finger on one particular reason for this in Pensacola. It's a collaborative effort between the hardworking men and women of the Pensacola Police Department and that's a big and, our community that cares. And nobody cares more about a community than those who live in it. So we get those phone calls. We get those tips when there's someone or a vehicle in an area that's not supposed to be there. And we're made aware of these situations. Our CRA officers are able to do a lot more since that came to be, and we're able to just to do a whole lot more. But again, we could not do it without a community that simply cares like ours does.
You know, the thing that I've heard, and you correct me if you disagree, but what I have heard many people say is they attribute this drop in crime primarily to technology, that law enforcement technology is so much better. I also think, and again, you tell me what you think, I think that the behavior of the more likely to engage in bad behavior people, meaning young, single, particularly men, has changed. And technology has affected them in a very different way, which is instead of being out and about and causing trouble and doing the kinds of things that we did when we were kids, you know, to some degree, they're at home playing games because they're living life on technology and social media instead of living life out and about. And that is also a part of the behavior shift across our culture that has produced fewer incidents of crime. Do you think there's anything to that? Am I way off base? Am I thinking about this?
No, I think there's a lot to that. You just have a lot of people that are, you know, kids that are growing up now are simply staying in the house, and they're the world is at their fingertips, and they're not going out and doing things like they used to. But also, people know now that you just cannot go from point A to point B without being on camera somehow, somewhere. And I'm not talking about cameras that the police or the government installed. I mean, there's ATMs, there's doorbell cameras, there's all kinds of things out there that can catch you messing up. And people know that, and hopefully that the technology that we have, and we're very fortunate to be a part of the Sheriff's Office Real Time Crime Center. I learned how to speak English last week, but we're very, very fortunate to be a part of that as well, and that's made a huge impact on the entire Pensacola-Escambia County community.
And it really is, you know, these broader cultural, because how would you explain it for everywhere? I mean, yes, our community does great, but I think it's also an everywhere thing, and it's not just, you know, trouble. It's, I mean, for example, you know, people aren't having sex. Young kids aren't having sex. I mean, that's just true. Why? A variety of reasons, including social media and technology. But, you know, there's all kinds of ways, and they're not drinking either. The attitude towards alcohol has changed, and so alcohol consumption is down. Your alcohol companies are not making the kind of money they used to make. Well, fewer drunk people means fewer crimes. I mean, it's kind of like all of this stuff collectively together has an impact. At least I think so. Do you disagree with any of that?
No, I don't.
All right, perfect.
I think it's a combination of a lot of things that are happening.
Absolutely.
But I got to say too that we've got a mayor and a city council that's obviously on our side, and that makes things a whole lot easier.
Oh no, I know. we played the clips from Eric Winstrom from the other day, and there's no doubt that having a community that supports law enforcement is an advantage when it comes to having a safer community. There, you can't even begin to dispute that claim. Absolutely. Hey, one thing I wanted to ask you about, actually, you had brought this to my attention, and it has to do with scams that we continue to have that people fall prey to. And I want to play, you had sent this to me, so I want to play it so you can talk about it. This is an outbound voice message. So when you call the phone number, this is the answering machine message that, or we used to call it answering machine. This is the voicemail message that you would get.
You're reached the confidential voicemail of Lieutenant Matt Coverdale here at the Pensacola Police Department. If this is an emergency, please hang up and dial 911. If not, please leave your name, your number, and a brief message, and I will return your call as soon as possible. Thank you, and have a great day.
Now, Matt Coverdale, not Coverdale, Matt Coverdale is a real law enforcement officer at the Pensacola Police Department, and he's a rock star. He is from the South, but he does not talk like that. So what is going on here, Mike?
So these scammers are, you can go on a website and you can get our names very easy, and they're taking that information, they're making those recordings like you just played, and they're sending them to people, telling them that they have warrants or they miss jury duty, and there's all kinds of reasons. They have a person or a family member that's been put in jail and they need bail money, and then they want you to go to a Bitcoin machine in the mall, or they want you to go get gift cards. That's not how that works. The law enforcement is never going to call you about money or about warrants or anything like that, asking for money or gift cards or Bitcoin or anything else. And when you have that happen, and Andrew, we've had people lose $40,000-$50,000 of their life savings and even more because of these scams, because they're scared to death. I was working off duty at Navy Federal and had one young military person come in just scared to death, and it took me literally 45 minutes to talk him into this is a scam. He was like, no, I'm going to pay it. And I'm standing there telling him that it's a scam, and he just would not believe me. Finally was able to get him to put that money back in his account. Ugh. But people believe this. These scammers are very, very good at convincing people, and it's always a rush. They want you to go do it right now, and that's simply a red flag. All you have to do is call us or call the sheriff's department and see if what they're saying is real, and 99% of the time, it's going to be a scam.
And, you know, the reason that they go and do enough research to use a real officer's name. I know in Santa Rosa County, same thing, real deputies, that they do that because that will survive the first layer of minimal scrutiny of the claim, because you can go look up online and see that Matt Coverdale is actually a PPD employee, right?
Yeah, and they're also using our phone numbers. On the caller ID on the victim's phone, it will show our phone number.
So they're spoofing the number, they're impersonating fake cops, or I mean, they're impersonating real cops, and they're doing all kinds of things to get people, and it's working. I mean, they wouldn't do it if it didn't work. So I'm glad to get the information out about that terrible thing. We always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know. You got one for me this week?
Yeah, and I heard this one. They came straight to me and told me that they're not worried about a DUI tonight because they have a Tesla. So let's address that real quick.
Oh, self-driver.
If you have a self-driving car, that does not give you carte blanche to just drink all you want and get in the car and tell it to take you home. You are still in control of that vehicle. That is still going to be a DUI. So, and the cars are just going to get better and better. There's one in Las Vegas that you just hop in and there are no controls. And you can go anywhere you want to, but you still can make that vehicle stop on command, which puts you partially in control, which means that you can end up with a DUI charge. So we just want people to, Dan, there's lots of Teslas and other vehicles out there that will do this. Just make sure you know that if you're in that vehicle, you're behind the steering wheel, you can still be charged. Please do not drink and drive.
Do not drink an autonomous drive because that is still a violation. Very good. Now, all right, very good. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for putting up with my questions, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
All right, 5:54 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Do you have questions regarding your plants and landscaping? If so, the Garden Line is for you. I am Mike Wiggins, and every Tuesday morning at 9, we are here for you on News Radio 92.3 to answer your questions. Seasonal changes call for different activities in your lawn and garden, so tune in and text or call with your questions on the Garden Line on Tuesdays at 9 and an encore each Saturday at the same time.
The Garden Line on the Pensacola Expert Panel, Tuesdays at 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Check out the Mardi Gras fun this weekend. Friday night, rolling at 7, downtown Pensacola will light up with the Crew of Lafitte Mardi Gras Illuminated Nighttime Parade. Saturday afternoon, beginning at 2, catch the Pensacola Grand Mardi Gras Parade in downtown Pensacola. And Sunday, it's Mardi Gras Island Style, with the Crew of Rex Parade on Pensacola Beach beginning at 2. Laissez le bon temps rouler. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Boy, I got vision and the rest of the world wears bifocals.
Good morning, 5:56 here on News Radio 92.3. Weather should be fairly fine today and tomorrow. Right around 5 or 6 a.m. on Sunday is when we're going to get walloped. Alan Strom's been talking about this for days now, but you're talking probably, depending on the speed of the storm, anywhere to a half inch to 2 inches of rain and pretty significant wind. So just be aware that in the middle of the night Sunday morning is when we're likely to get something like that. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. It's a stalemate between Republicans and Democrats over immigration enforcement reforms and could result in some consequences for the Department of Homeland Security. A brief government shutdown, of course, was ended a few weeks ago when Congress agreed to fund the government for the year, except for DHS. But unless a new agreement is reached, another shutdown could start tomorrow. I assume that would just be for DHS.
Yeah, it's FEMA, the Coast Guard, TSA, yeah. ICE, CBP and the Secret Service will all be working without pay.
So, yeah.
Starting at midnight.
Have to see what happens with that. Amazon canceling a partnership between Ring doorbell cameras and you said Flock cameras was mm-hmm. the company here. That plan would have allowed Ring customers to share doorbell video with police. The partnership was scrapped, Amazon said, due to it taking more time and resources than initially anticipated. And there is a teacher's strike ongoing in San Francisco right now. Students are out of the classrooms there, and the school district says it's losing up to $10 million every day of that strike.
because the state doesn't fund their teachers when they're not working? Is that kind of, is that the idea?
I don't have context on it, but that sounds like it would be it to me, yeah.
Well, that's an expensive vacation. Okay, David, thank you so much for the update, and costly for the kids, too, in terms of education. 558 on News Radio 92.3. The one of the big decisions that happened yesterday, got announced yesterday, is that the Trump administration has now revoked the, it's called the endangerment finding. And if you're not familiar with this, it's the predicate upon which all of the greenhouse gas emissions restrictions and reporting is all based. It was a finding declared under the Obama administration that greenhouse gases like, you know, methane and carbon dioxide are a threat or an endangerment, and therefore they fall under the Clean Air Act, and therefore they can be regulated. Well, the Trump administration says, nope, they're not. Because climate change as a man-made or man-caused phenomenon is all a bunch of hooey. I'm paraphrasing. And and therefore, none of this stuff applies anymore. That means that everything that tracks or connects to at the federal level, you know, your greenhouse gas emissions, or so-called greenhouse gas emissions, is now going away. The part of this, which it doesn't bother me because I've long thought that the man-made, you know, we're destroying our world by breathing and farting is nonsense, or burning fuels or whatever. But the one part of this that I really do love, that I would find you, it'd be hard-pressed to find somebody who even disagrees with, is the start-stop feature on cars no longer has a justification. There was a financial incentive for companies to install that. There's actually no evidence that that even does anything for greenhouse gas emissions. It is bad for your car, and everybody hates it. So you can turn it off usually, but anyway, that's going away, so hallelujah!